Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the third part of our interview with Mark Speer. Mark is lab director at RMS Fungi. In this episode, we discuss growing mushrooms at scale, as well as how fungi can help entire countries, both by raising the health of their individual citizens and by cleaning the environment.
I'm wondering if there's over your career or recently, is there a particular book or TV series or something that really, really struck you and that you highly recommend to others?
Well, it depends what they're doing. YouTube is now the encyclopedia of the world. But there are people who really know what they're doing on YouTube, and there's people that are just making a video and don't have much background.
So
it's kind of up to the user to beware. Of course, the same is true for TV and even books. I mean, there's some books that are much better. If you're talking about somebody who wants to become a mushroom hunter who hasn't started already, the sure, safest thing to do is to go to a club and see what books they use there. There are some very regional books, like the Northeast mushroom population is different than the Northwest mushroom population and the Southern population. It's very dependent on what plants are around and what the climate's like. So if you want the shortest path to be able to identify what's growing, under your steps or in your backyard, you want to get a local tailored journal. And there's some for everywhere in the world. So that's what I would do. See what the people in your area are using and use that.
Right. I was also wondering, I know you consulted with a lot of companies about scaling, like really growing these mushrooms at big scale. And I'm curious about the difference as you get bigger and bigger and bigger scale. What changes?
Well, to grow it on a small research, the sky's the limit, and how much it costs per unit doesn't really matter much because that's not the point.
Yeah.
But as you get bigger, not only do you have to control costs in the whole process, you also have to sell all those mushrooms. And that is not easy. One of our consulting clients produces close to 1 million pounds of mushrooms a day.
Wow.
So if you think of the logistics of getting it to all the distribution centers and stores and even getting paid for them and knowing what the price is and so in an operation like that, you know what a SKU is, an SKU?
Yeah.
You might have 45 SKUs, right?
Yeah.
And you got to get the right product to the right customer at the right time, without it degrading in process. You got to grade them, you got to chill them. The bigger you get, the more logistics are involved. And let's say to get this many mushrooms out, you got to get them harvested, which means you need 300 harvesters there every day, 7 days a week. You need to be making all the substrate, which comes in giant, a train of giant semis so it becomes, these are great growers, but growing is only a small part of the whole business.
Interesting. So this kind of leads to a question I had, like, let's say you were appointed the secretary of, nutrition for the country or health or whatever, and your strategy was to really help use all your knowledge about fungi to help a country. It doesn't have to be the US, any country. What advice would you give to that country, and it sounds like also like having one centralized place where it's all done isn't the way to go. It's more distributed. But I'm just curious from your career, from your insights.
Yeah. I mean, if I was
the future?
Mostly concerned about the health of the country, the people's personal health, balance in all things, right? There's definitely a role for people's health in fungi. Fungi have unique metabolic pathways that produce unique chemical compounds that are going to, be useful for health. You know, statin, how many people in the US are on statin now? 30% over 50 are on statin. So that's a fungal derived compound. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done for health, but that's only a piece of the bigger picture. You know, in nature, fungi are an amazing, kind of our chemical way of taking waste products and upcycling them into things that are much, much more valuable. So, for example, if you ever go to China or you go to Indonesia, you notice that there's some parts of the year where the air quality is just terrible because the farmers are burning their fields. Well, that's all stuff that could be used to make good food, nutritious, delicious, healthy food. That so what fungi do is that they do that whole recycling thing, and that's something that humans, and especially Americans, but humans in general, are not good at. We're good at creating, we can take trees, make lumber, we can eat cows, we can, grow things. But every time you do any of that stuff, it produces a mountain of waste. And right now it's discarded, but it's so valuable, and it can be used to, I mean, you can turn that into gold. And that's the part where there's a huge amount to be done. And not just for idealistic reasons, just for pure greed, just for pure profit. So that's a big part of why fungi are should be allowed to solve some of our problems.
That's great. I'm also wondering, the Chinese, you mentioned China, Chinese have been using mushrooms in their medicine for thousands of years. As part of
Absolutely.
your career, your research, have you kind of done that intersection of
Well,
what are they doing? What's the benefits? What's the
I have no question that the mushrooms they eat are of, are very healthy. But I'm kind of a, if it's not a double blind clinical study, I'm not going to be too serious about it. I mean, our brains are extremely powerful, and the placebo effect is extremely strong. And while I think the China, we have a lot to learn from the Chinese medicine, I need to filter it through a prism of, clinical objective double blind studies before I'll believe it. Fortunately, there are many cases where that's been done to an amazing extent. One thing that we grow and we eat, we're not, I remember the days when I was just 60, that was great. Lion's mane, for example, appears to have these amazing neurogenic effects that can halt or even partially reverse cognitive decline with age. And how important is that? I mean, I think that pretty much everybody over 50, and I don't know when you should start, but everybody over 50 should be taking a little of that on occasion to have a better old age. Look at the demographics around you, and think of how many people are needlessly sidelined that could be have another good 10 years. I mean, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be crippled before I die.
And then kind of that's it's interesting. Sempera, I know you've been connecting with Sempera, working with Sempera. What are the interesting things that you're seeing that Sempera is doing
What
that is
they have a
beneficial?
bunch of cool stuff, and they have some patties and they have some capsules, and they're working on this and that, and all of those stuff. I like those things, but that's not the main thing that I like about Sempera. So if you look at any kind of farming, animal farming, whatever, and even mushroom farming, it produces a waste stream, a big waste stream. With agaricus production, you get spent compost. Now there are, farmers' fields that you can put spent compost on, but spent compost is heavy. It's 60% water, and you got to get it to the farmer's field, which means that if you have to truck it a long ways, it gets expensive. The Sempera process has almost no waste at all. It's the only, and I've dealt with a lot of different growers in a lot of different countries. And you know, for example, if you grow lion's mane, you get a few, you know, maybe 4 pounds of lion's mane and about 4 pounds of spent sawdust that you have to do something with. And right now, a lot of that goes to landfill, which, I mean, it's not the worst thing to have in a landfill, but you're missing all that opportunity. The Sempera process produces almost no waste, and it is the lowest waste cultivation process I've ever seen. And I've been in this since the 80s. And I love that. It really seems to me to be, you know, the way forward.
Yeah, excellent. Well, yeah, thank you. These are the main questions I had. Are there any other thoughts, things that you think would be really cool to share with people from your
Yeah,
school?
I said it before, but the whole deal of fungi's ability to take waste products and turn them into gold, you know, that is the central reason to be interested in fungi. The things you can get out of them are, you know, vary from valuable to invaluable, right? I mean, to life-saving. And the idea of taking what everybody else is throwing away and using that as a starting product, that's just magic, you know. And that is the real reason we're still in it. I mean, we've retired twice now and we're still working every day because of that. So
Fantastic. Sounds like alchemy there.
I
Fungi.
agree.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Mark Spear. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.